Our next testimony comes from the Asia Pacific region, from Raqi Up. Raqi is part of the Free West Papua campaign, which was founded by the independence leader Benny Wenda, and exists to raise awareness about the genocide and ecocide in West Papua. Their agenda is to create international awareness and to find support for the right to self-determination for West Papua. Raqi is a spokesperson for the Free West Papua campaign as a voice for Indigenous Papuans. And Raqi, welcome to the People's Health Hearing, and we look forward to hearing your testimony.
Yes, but thank you so much for the introducing. And first of all, really inspired by the previous speakers with their stories and insights they gave to me. And I want to thank the People's Health Hearing and all the organizations and partners who organized this, because my slogan, system change by story change. And I'm going to share you my personal story, how I became the person I am today, which is the Indigenous climate change activist, freedom fighter, a spokesperson of our campaign. And to kick off my presentation, I want all the participants to imagine that world's largest gold mine is located nearby your home, your city, or your village. And that this world's largest gold mine is also the world's second largest copper mine. And that because of this activities of this extractive industry, the rivers which you and your people have used for many thousands of years for fishing, for water, and for every, you know, daily activity have been polluted, have been poisoned due to this extractive industry's toxic waste. And because their activities are making so much profit, you and your family have been forced to go away because they wanted to use your land, the land where you have lived, where your house is standing for hundreds, for generations long, to make more profit, to make more mining activities. Because you don't like that, and the villages as well, you go and protest. So this corporation ask an army in a neighboring country to support them. They pay them, and they force all of you with violence to get away from your land. Many people of your village, of your family, have been murdered. And in the last 60 years, imagine, not 100 years ago, but the last 60 years, more than one-third of your population have been murdered. And an anthropologist who made music, an anthropologist who was a musician as well, who made music about what is happening in these villages against his people, was murdered. His family was forced to left the country. This sounds like a far away show from the history, but unfortunately, it is not a fantasy story. This is the story of the indigenous peoples of West Papua. This is my personal story because the anthropologist and the musician was my father, Arnold Up. And me and my mom, three brothers, had to fled West Papua, and we arrived in the Netherlands where I was just a boy. So from a political refugee from West Papua, after Indonesian military assassinated my father 4 months before I was born, I came to the Netherlands and I joined the Dutch army because I thought that was the way to contribute to peace and justice and human rights. How I was young and naive. Now I understand the political dynamics behind this militarism, which also is a huge contributor to the climate crisis we see today. So this is my story, which showcases West Papua. For those who doesn't know where West Papua is, it's right above Australia, the island of New Guinea, and it's the western half of the island of New Guinea right there. And I'm going to zoom in. This is the island split in two. The eastern half is the Papua New Guinea, the independent nation of Papua New Guinea, and the western half is West Papua, which unfortunately is a province of the Indonesia we know today. So what went wrong? First, we were a colony of the Netherlands. They prepared the West Papuans to a independent nation. They gave the West Papuans the morning star flag. We had an army. We had a first government in the early 60s until the United States came in and forced the Dutch to hand over West Papua to the Indonesia we know today. And this was the reality which started from that moment on. After a so-called referendum in 1969, 2 years before, a U.S. corporate gold mine, the world's largest gold mine, second largest copper mine, located in the heart of West Papua, destroyed the environment and violated a lot of human rights. Not much later, we got BP coming in as well, clearing rainforest. And before that, obviously, indigenous peoples lived there for more than hundreds, if not thousands of years in balance with nature. And because more and more companies saw this huge rainforest and all these resources, palm oil companies came in to plant what they do, palm oils, for all the products here in the West, and left behind, you know, this kind of landscapes for the indigenous communities in West Papua. And these are the images which West Papuans have been confronted, not images, the violence committed by, you know, colonial Indonesian forces against indigenous Papuans who lived there for more than 40,000 of years in balance with the nature. So these companies are paying directly to the occupation, to the violence committed by Indonesian military, and basically allowing them to do that. And these are the images, unfortunately, I have to see to make you feel how horrible the situation in West Papua is. My father's story, as I mentioned, is just one of the hundreds of thousands of stories. Confirmed NGOs reports more than 500,000 indigenous West Papuans have lost their lives the last 60 years due to Indonesian colonization, supported by the Western governments and their extractive industries. So how is this story linked to the climate crisis? This is why I am here in Glasgow. Because how are we going to stop the climate crisis if we don't know what is happening on the front line? So West Papua is part of the world's largest tropical island, housing one of the unique, most unique land and marine biodiversity. So the narrative of a lot of environmental organizations are, you know, protecting the forest, protecting animals. Yes, of course, we support that. But if they cared about the lives of indigenous peoples and protected and campaigned for their rights, these animals and trees were still there. It's that simple. We need a new narrative. And that's why I'm here with our campaign. Because for us, it's about human lives. It's about our culture disappearing. And we are the best protectors of world's largest tropical island, housing the second/third largest rainforest in the world. That is what happened on New Guinea. And these are the reports. Don't bother, just let them die, about what is happening in West Papua. And why is our story so fundamental for those who want to fight climate change? Indigenous perspective on climate change, which showcase West Papua. This is one of the outcomes of the United Nations panel, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Although indigenous peoples constitute less than 5% of world's population, they safeguarded 80% of world's remaining biodiversity. Thereby, they play an important role in the recent biodiversity. At the same time, more than 96% of all deforestation in the world happens on the same indigenous lands due to coal, mining, fossil fuels, and so on, and so on. So these two numbers basically show us the way out of the climate crisis. It's the most effective, most just, and cheapest climate solution there is. Protect the lives of indigenous peoples and the frontline communities who feel the effect of these extractive industries. So yes, nature.com described the uniqueness of the island of New Guinea. So when we understand what is happening in New Guinea and what happens in Nigeria to the Ogoni people, what's happening in the Amazon and much more communities around the world, we can understand the root causes where the climate crisis started and the structures which have created that. That is basically what the science is telling us. And the same United Nations are saying that ensuring the collective rights of indigenous peoples to land, territories, and resources, not only for their well-being, but also for addressing some of the most pressing global challenges, such as climate change and environmental degradation. So the solution is very clear, but at the same time, we see a lot of silence in the global north, in the mainstream media, at environmental organizations bringing forward the wrong narrative. And that's why I believe in the slogan, system change by story change. How is it possible that I have to educate Dutch environmental organizations or even WWF about what is happening on the world's largest tropical island. You should know that, and you should facilitate our voice. If you did that 50 years ago, we didn't have a genocide nor an ecocide in West Papua. So how is it possible that these fundamental organizations, which should be our first ally, are still pitching the wrong story? And politicians here in COP saying that, you know, cheering about, you know, ending deforestation in by 2030, you know, we should support that. How are they going to do that without having the best preservers, protectors of these environments, which are the indigenous peoples on the table? Without underlining protecting the rights of indigenous peoples is the best solution to protect deforestation. That's exactly what we need to, you know, underline. We should bring that forward, that these are greenwash talks about what is happening here in COP. So, but we have a way out, because the world is silenced. We educated the world in the last 10 years under the leadership of His Excellency Benny Wenda. And we've created a lot of momentum by building bridges with different movements, also educating environmental organizations about the indigenous perspective and the role of indigenous peoples in preserving biodiversity and forest. So we built alliances with grassroots movements, with NGOs, with politicians, with mainstream media, to educate them about what is happening in West Papua. We've lobbied in the Pacific, across the world. We become a member within the Melanesian Spearhead Group. And now we also got more than 2 million indigenous West Papuans supporting our cause and our campaign. So we built up a huge momentum, understanding that we live without freedom, having very little resources. We have created this change of hope and optimism. So now we got more than 80 countries in the world demanding a United Nations human rights fact findings to mission to West Papua, which is a huge diplomatic win for our campaign and our indigenous government in waiting, because Indonesia is still not allowing them to do their, you know, observing. But this is why we're here in Glasgow. We've launched the Green State Vision this week, fulfilling in the words of the United Nations themselves and the world leaders, saying that indigenous peoples play an important role. Yes, indeed. So we envision this. You can visit it yourself at greenstatevision.info. And while we have challenged all these world leaders that you cannot lead the way, we know how to manage pristine land. We know how to manage world's largest biodiversity hotspot. And we are willing to lead. We are no victims. We are climate leaders. Thank you so, so much. This was my presentation. Thank you so, so much.